Hi, Sean Noonan here. Just to say that this podcast was recorded shortly after the announcement of Century. However, my computer died a little after, so I was unable to edit the episode. And that's basically why we've been a little late, so sorry about that. And we should be back on schedule soon. Thanks.
Welcome to Funk Podcasts. I'm Bradley Tolliver, also known as Comfort Jones, also known as Bradley Tolliver.
And I'm Sean Noonan.
We're both game developers, one of us an amateur hack fraud, the other a accomplished over 10-year professional in the industry, and now full-fledged independent game developer is one of the main members working on Century. So how are you feeling about that, Sean?
Yeah, it's cool to actually finally talk about it out in the public at large, I suppose.
Yeah, so you've successfully kept me in the dark, even though we're friends, because I guess we're not that close. So, seeing that trailer was still pretty interesting for me. I knew basically nothing other than it was going to be some kind of a shooter. So, why don't you tell me what went into like making that?
Yeah, sure. That trailer idea, at least, was basically the pitch for the project for me, in a way. When I first interviewed with the team, it was sort of a bit more like a conversation. And the conversation kind of took the form of what that trailer was going to be in a weird kind of way, you know, getting those main beats in the conversation that kind of dictated what the trailer was going to end up like. It was just a coincidence that was what we ended up pushing for our first reveal. But those moments, the overall feel and idea and gameplay was all kind of there in those initial conversations.
I see. So how would you describe like Century to someone, especially if they haven't seen the trailer? And you should go see the trailer.
It's an action defense game. We're still working out the verbiage and, you know, trying to work out the best way to describe it, because it is a bit of a mix of genres.
Yeah, it's like a first-person shooter, and it's sort of like a tower defense game, but you're in a spaceship rather than a tower.
Yeah, and there's a few things that make it quite difficult to describe because of the nature of the spaceship being your own. Well, it's your own space. It's not like you're going to levels that are unknown to you. You actually run the ship, so you're defending that space that you're already familiar with, and you make modifications to it to defend it, which is a little different to a lot of the tower defense stuff where you cycle through a series of levels that are all like kind of new to you. Obviously, these will all be new to you the first time you experience them, but they will all be related to the ship that you own, and there will be multiple ships later on.
Hmm. Okay, that's interesting. So what was like the main inspiration? Like, was there a game that you were playing at the time or something where you were just like, what if I took this and turned it to a shooter? Because, you know, when I see the video, like, it makes sense. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I can see how like this idea works. But I've never really seen someone do this before.
Most of it just does come down to there being what we believe to be a hole in the market. There's a desire for this sort of game, but nobody's really making it exactly, or at least the way we want to make it. And yeah, it's a mix of more typical action tower defense stuff. We've been trying to distance ourselves away from the tower defense genre when we're just talking about it, just because it has a lot of, not baggage, so to speak, but it has like genre conventions that we're not following because we're going in a different direction.
Yeah, I think people often associate tower defense with a little bit more passive play too, right? You know, you're kind of waiting on your turrets and all that.
Exactly. You're far more involved in this game, and the action doesn't really stop either once it has started. You're constantly acting. There's a few other aspects that have been taken from completely different places, which has made it quite difficult to explain. There's a little bit of FTL in there, and the team that are building this had worked on a game previously called Abandoned Ship that was quite similar to FTL, but with pirates, basically. It's more of a coincidence that it's ended up in there, because those are things that I brought to the table. Yeah, so there's a bit of FTL, a bit of Syndicate, a little bit of cannon fodder. There's a lot of like older stuff that I like that's sort of getting to sneak in there, and that's one of the big bonuses for being able to work on an independent project, because you get to make those kind of calls.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it definitely, yeah, what you're saying with the hole in the market, I definitely can't think of anything else that immediately jumps to mind where I'm like, oh yeah, this is like comparable. And I play a decent amount of like kind of more roguelike-y, you know, you play until you die kind of games. Risk of Rain's like a big one that comes to mind. So someone who plays those, I'm pretty interested. But before I guess going into like what kind of work you've been doing on it directly. I'm kind of curious about like the trailer itself. One thing, I don't know how much you want to speak on this, is how much is like fully functioning gameplay in that trailer, and how much did you have to kind of like sweeten up to like flow the way you want? Because I assume the game can be kind of like random and hectic when you're actually like trying to record.
Yeah, so when you're building a trailer, you take your working gameplay and then choose the bits that work the way you want them to work. So you'll play the game a bit, work out how you want enemies to be, like where you want them to sort of be positioned and stuff, where you want them to be shooting, like that kind of thing. And then you just keep doing takes until it all sort of fits together.
Yeah.
The nightmare case for us was that we decided to do a seamless trailer without any cuts.
I know that pain.
Yeah, everything had to go right. And it very rarely did. Like, you know, there's times where like you'll think, ah, oh, that was good, and then a physics object went in a weird place and it's like, no. You know, in fact, in the trailer there are like little bits, you know, that I'm just like, let's say we had three cuts or something and we went with this one because these aspects were perfect, but this one bit was annoying, whereas in the cut where that was good, the other bits were worse. So it's like you have to kind of make judgment calls constantly. And when you're going through building all of the different aspects of the trailer, there's parts that, you know, are very early in development, so you're projecting what you can do in the future. Like when it comes to the full loop of the game, that stuff isn't all in place yet. The big thing, the way the trailer ends, is with the venting moment where the window shatters and everything gets sucked out into space. That stuff all works, but how that will work in the final game is still to be determined, right? Because at the moment, it's extremely overpowered. So I can run into a map and kill everything in one hit, right? So
yeah, it made me raise my eyebrows. I was like, that seems kind of like a big statement. Like, okay, we're going to like let you do something kind of crazy in this game. And I'm like, well, that's a challenge. So yeah, I'm probably going to pick at your brain about stuff like that more in the near future on this podcast.
Yeah.
But I just want to say, I definitely relate with you on the trailer woes, mostly because I just didn't want to do video editing. Pretty much everything I've ever done for promoting Inhuman has just been raw gameplay.
Yeah.
But it's always been raw gameplay that I played over like 15 times, because no matter how nice I make my AI, I know the AI is deterministic, you know? So like if I do the same general things, they're going to do the same like general things in response. And so I could usually start to get like a good understanding of like, okay, if I go here, they'll do this. And I can't tell you how many takes I had where I would be having like a good run or something, you know, things are looking good.
Yeah.
And then I poke my head out and like an enemy's doing something awkward. Like he like ran over to the corner of the map and he's like looking away from me. And I actually like have to open up C++ and go, well, what's doing that? Or I just have to like play around it.
Yeah.
There are things that got bug fixed almost entirely just because I was trying to record a trailer. And I'm like, well, why is that happening? And I just spent like a next hour of my day working on that.
We got things pretty tight, so we didn't have to like sort of bug fix too much. It was more about trying to make things look constantly presentable, right?
Yeah.
There were definitely moments where, you know, you'd unearth something and go, right, should we fix this or just like, you know, hack around it kind of thing? Like those things do happen. It was quite strange. Some of the feedback we got, and it was mostly really, really positive. I was quite surprised. I was expecting, you know, it's the internet, right? You'd expect a bit
yeah,
more, but it was overwhelmingly positive. But the few comments where people had said that it looked fake, and I think that's just down to the fact that we spent a fair bit of time early on trying to make our camera movements and all of our actions look as smooth as possible to not look too jarring.
Yeah, it did look very smooth,
and I think that's the problem. We spent a lot of time, like, we did everything possible to try and make the camera motion smooth, and I think at the end it obviously is easier to watch because of that, but it means, you know, the sort of more hardcore within the audience can kind of see that stuff, and they associate it with fake footage. And obviously it's not fake footage because it's quite clearly gameplay stuff, but that's only if you're in the know kind of thing, that you can tell it's real. There's too many things that you would make your life easier by, you know, faking if you were going to do it.
Oh, for sure.
Like, you wouldn't rely on a physics system to do half of the stuff that we did, because, you know, that when you rely on physics, you're opening yourself up to mistakes and wonkiness. which I'm hoping we're just going to embrace in the long run. Like, there's quite a lot of physics objects in the world, and I don't mind if they, you know, sometimes jank out, kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's part of the game. I think people usually don't even notice that stuff most of the time anyway.
Yeah, and it comes with the fact that we want the game to be a bit more dynamic and simulated than most of these games usually are. At the moment, and I don't know if this is going to be a permanent thing, but at the moment we're not using any baked lighting. Everything is dynamic at the moment. So the idea is that everything is dynamic and reacts. Just the idea that you're shooting a window vents a room or a zone or a sector, whatever. I'm still working on terminology at the moment. But yeah, the fact that that's a thing at all means baked lighting kind of doesn't work so well.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Because there's too much stuff that can move. And we've got a few other things. Like there's a lot of dynamic levels to the lighting as well. Like when enemies are spawning in different areas, we have this emergency lighting that comes on. These little lights pop down and signify that this is a doorway that's currently being breached by enemies. A lot of the signs of feedback are still being worked on, obviously, but that's the idea.
So is your goal for how reactive the game is that a big part of what drove the art style? Because I find the art style interesting because it's not exactly retro. It's not exactly high detail, but it's pleasant to look at. It doesn't feel like an old game necessarily, but I can tell it probably makes certain things a little easier. You know, it's easier to have a lot of stuff exploding and reacting when, you know, it's not like some ridiculously high poly mesh that looks like a real thing.
Yeah, most of the stuff is probably simulated more than it needs to be when it comes to like breakables and things. But we do get a few things like a bit cheaper, I think, by going with the style we've gone with. I think one of the nicer things is it does stand out because it isn't going for the sort of more busy, noisy, gritty PS1 style retro visual that's quite popular at the moment.
I feel like I'm getting kind of sick of that, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I do it a lot myself, but
I feel like it's like there's a divide between visuals where it's like you're targeting something lower end that makes it like easier to work with, and then just like,
yeah,
there's like a slavish dedication to making things look the way they used to, and it's like we stopped making things look that way for a reason. I don't know.
Yeah,
like no one was feeling for that when they were playing like PlayStation 2 games. No one looked at Metal Gear Solid 2 and was like, I really wish this looked like, well, I'm sure some psychopath out there probably wish it looked like Metal Gear Solid 1, but
yeah,
you know, for the most part, I think people were happy with what they had, and I'm like, you know, you can make whatever you want. I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad. It's just it's a thing for me. So it was pleasant seeing a game like this where, you know, the visuals are simple, but like it's different.
Yeah, it's a sort of fake retro. I've seen a few people point out that they thought it looked like Perfect Dark, which is weird, but I can sort of get it. And like that could be down to the way the weapons look and stuff. And that's probably down to the stuff that I green light. Because I get basically given sheets and sheets. Like Alex, our artist, she does insane amounts of work on this stuff. And, you know, I approve and, you know, throw away quite a lot of stuff because she'll do like, I don't know, 7 or 8 guns and I'll probably pick 1 or 2 kind of thing. And then we'll go through like several rounds of like feedback and stuff on that. And yeah, obviously some of the stuff that I'm approving will be similar to stuff that I like, right? So I think that's probably the reason why some of that feedback that comes in, like, oh, it looks a bit like Perfect Dark, could be because some of it does look like Perfect Dark, I guess. The environment doesn't really. It's more the individual weapons and things like that. Yeah, a few people who mentioned the game looked a bit like a PS2 game, and they said they're welcoming the era of the PS2 indie game.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
That's something I was kind of thinking about, because I don't know. That's when I think about targeting a, I guess, older art style, that's kind of more where I go, because that was the era where you could really start making out detail you just couldn't with PlayStation 1 visuals, but you're not hitting like that approaching photorealistic look. And I think that's a decent goal for indies these days.
Yep.
Because I think you can still make some where it, you know, it looks good, it looks appealing, and it doesn't look cheap, but it's not like making a computer run hot.
Yeah.
So there's kind of like a vibe you're going for with this game that like I kind of get the sense from the trailer where you're not really going for the same level of gaminess as like, I guess, certain other retro shooters. It's kind of like the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah, like there was a point early in the project, I think it was in my first week, where I'd plotted sort of cross-axis with like a bunch of films and games and stuff. And it was like basically how sci-fi something was and how fantasy it was, you know, hard sci-fi and like fancy sci-fi and stuff. And I was like, where are we on this map? Where do we want to be? And put a pin in it. And it was too early to really do that. But I was aware that my tendency is always to go a bit more darker and drier. I often say that I'm dull because of that. That's my default.
Same.
It's just how I always go. Like I like things like concrete and you know, and dull metals. It's just the way I was built, I think. So while building this, I've been looking at other games that kind of reach that. They're able to have a bit more fun with their world, but not to the point where it gets silly. Like, and that's where like trying to put that pin on where that tone is. And I think Doom 2016 is one of those games that I think nails it, really. Like, there's a tone that I haven't really seen like done in games really much before, where they have an odd reverence for their own narrative and lore, which I think they go into in far more detail than I'd like in the sequel. But also they're able to mock it a little bit through the character, which is nice. And the world itself is a little tongue-in-cheek. Again, I think it goes a bit too far in the sequel, but that's a sort of tone I'd like to go for. Maybe not too in the direction where it's almost comedy or, you know, farce or whatever. I don't want to go that far, but that's kind of where I'm looking at the moment and how I want to kind of build things up.
Yeah, so I assume you're not really characterizing the protagonist, though, in this, because I assume it's meant to be more of a one-to-one relationship with the player, especially when it's a co-op game.
So the idea is that this sort of loose background of what's going on in the game world is that Earth has been attacked by aliens. They've knocked out all military and everything, and all that's left is civilian ships. And everyone who happens to be on ice in these civilian ships are being revived to protect these ships because they're, you know, they're defenseless ships. So these ships are being attacked by aliens. Aliens are boarding, and you are given this like sort of sentry program, which gives you all of your like armor and your weapons and stuff to basically defend the ship from these intruders.
So you're an actual like person in a...
Yes.
In a, okay, because I was kind of wondering if you were like some kind of like cyborg dude who's being like piloted by somebody.
Nope.
Okay, yeah, okay. Because that's kind of the vibe I got from the trailer, was that like you're maybe like being uploaded into like a body or something.
No, you're basically another person off ice, and every time you spawn, you'll have a new name. You'll be one of the people, like a finite list of people on your ship.
You mean like those Half-Life references you got in there?
yeah, there's a couple of references in the ones that are in the trailer. So yeah, you spawn as a new character every time you die, but you have a chance to revive them and not lose that life, but you need to get to them before they get jibbed, basically, or, you know, lost out of a vent or something, you know, eventing rather. And yeah, the idea is to defend your ship. That's the premise of the game, really.
Yeah. It's easy to wrap your head around. Yeah, that's something. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know if I want to give you advice or anything, but yeah, that's something I actually didn't fully get from the trailer. Like, I understand you're defending a ship, but I wasn't 100% clear on like the conflict itself. So if that's something,
yeah,
you could maybe push more in the future. So I'm kind of curious, what sort of challenges are you dealing with currently for like getting this game working? Like, I guess, you know, I don't want to like, you don't have to throw the game itself under the bus or anything, but like, is the game like playable? Like, is it like, would I be able to pick this game up right now and like have like a decent session with it? Or like, where is it at?
You can play different levels currently, like different segments through to completion. We're a bit short on mission types at the moment. So at the moment, you can currently play what we're deeming is our bread and butter, which is the convoy mission types. That's basically enemies moving from one point in the ship to the other. So you've got to stop them before they get to the next area. Because if they do get to the next area, then you have to fight them in that area. And
right, I
guess. In that time, another set of enemies have gone through another route in the ship, and you know they're all kind of amassing into a bigger force to get to your core. And we have a core defense mission, which is the one that you see in the trailer. And the idea is that those things are the things that you should be defending most, because once you've lost all of those, your ship's destroyed. There's a couple of others that we've got on paper right now, and some that we've sort of moved to the side and we'll come back to later. But there's a couple of like long-term goal ideas where you go to other places and stuff, but you know, that's so far along, like we don't even know if that'll make it into early access yet.
So how much access throughout the whole ship do you get? Like, are you fighting, like, let me put it this way, if there's like a big room that the enemies are going for, can you easily leave that room to like put up defenses in like a different hallway that are like going to hold them off? Or is it kind of like, is the player expected to mostly be in one or two rooms the entire time as long as the objective doesn't get destroyed?
You'll be moving freely within each sector of the ship that you're fighting in at any given time. So say you're in the demo level is central processing. So that was the one that was in the trailer. That's basically got spawn area. Then there was a core room, which is the thing you have to defend. And then there were two wings off to the side of that, one of which you saw in the trailer, the other one you didn't see. And yeah, that's where the enemies are going to be attacking from, those two different wings in that level. Some of the other levels are a bit more linear in nature. Some of them are a bit more open. They're not connected in a way where you'd move from room to room within gameplay. You do that from a sort of meta level. You'll have a map. And we've got that right now, but it's not arted up, which is why it wasn't in the trailer. There's like no art on that stuff. It's all very debug. You have a room that's being attacked by enemies, so you'll jump into that room and that's where you'll spawn. So you're basically sending a sentry to that area. And then once you've defended that, you go back to your pod, go back to the elevated map, and then you choose the next area to defend while the enemies are all attacking at different points.
So you don't like kind of move through the entire game world to get to a different room. You're like sending guys there. Okay.
The ships are massive, basically.
Yeah. How does the AI handle that? Is there any kind of like trickery for like spawning them in places where you can't, like the player can't see you, or do they actually have to navigate through like a pretty big space? And how do they handle their priorities?
That stuff's still somewhat up in the air on how they actually spawn between different areas. Like at the moment, they're basically spawned at runtime when you spawn in a space, right? So they have a set of like different breach points they're going to breach through. And then there's like a spawn routine of like different types of enemies that are going to spawn at any given time.
Makes me kind of think of like Halo's opening mission or something.
Coincidentally, somebody said like, this reminds me of the start of Halo 2. And it blew my mind that I'd forgotten the start of Halo 2. And yeah, it's quite similar.
Well, I mean, you know, it's the opening to Halo 1 as well.
Yes. Yeah. Halo's definitely there's definitely inspiration that coming from there.
So is this the Halo killer of indie games? Can you confirm or deny? Come on, shoot yourself in the foot. Let's do this.
No, I think we're quite different gameplay wise, I think, to something like Halo. There are some similarities, I think, but it's not a linear narrative game. It is more of a sort of dynamic roguelike. You will be experiencing it in a linear fashion, but there'll be replay.
Yeah.
Not just replay opportunities. I think in most cases, you're going to need to replay it. How hard we go into the rogue side of things, I don't know.
I say go as hard as possible. I say go absolutely ham.
Yeah. I think that's probably the best route to go at the point we're at now, just to kind of try and find where our best gameplay is, I think. I think if we were too lenient, we might get lost in the sort of like, you know, that the trickery of satisfaction, which, you know, is something that happens all the time when you're like building enemies and stuff, you know, like when you give them good feedback and
yeah,
as soon as it feels satisfying, you're like, yeah, that's fun to kill, but is it fun to fight?
They're
kind of different things.
So yeah, I was gonna get into that. Like I'm very curious about these enemies, because I guess that's like one thing the trailer has some trouble selling, is you just kind of see them coming through like a room, you know, walking in the trap. So it's they don't really get like a chance to really show you what they can do. What are you pushing for with these enemies? Like, are you expecting the average one to be kind of a little on the mindless side, or are you going for some that's a little bit more back and forth, kind of like Halo or Fear, or, you know, whatever?
That's definitely the thing on the project that's like sort of changed the most as we've been building. In fact, it was different when we started the trailer to how we ended the trailer. When we started the trailer, we were leaning more towards mindless enemies walking along a spline. By the time we finished the trailer, we definitely moved more towards the idea that enemies enter an area, they clear the area, then they move to the next area and do the same. And so they basically sweep until they get to their objectives. That's their current goal at the moment. They start where they start. So whether or not the player's there or not, they check the area. If there's no player, they move to the next area and so on.
Are you expecting them, and I think kind of by extension, the player, to be very cover-based, or is it going for something a little bit more running gun?
That's something that, again, has changed a lot at different points. It's probably not so strange, but the enemies feel very different in different maps at the moment, again, depending on cover.
Oh, yeah.
Because the player can build cover, they're probably going to be using cover a lot more. We're not going to have a cover system per se, but they will be aware of it.
Yeah, you don't need that.
And they'll be trying to position cover between you and them.
Yeah. Because, like, what came to mind when I was seeing this was, like, maybe your average enemy is a little bit on the dumber side. Like, they kind of stand out in the open. And then maybe you've got, like, stronger dudes who either force you into cover or they themselves are kind of more, you know, a little better at surviving. You know, think of, like, the elites and grunts in, like, Halo.
Yeah.
That was kind of, like, a vibe I was kind of wondering if, like, you might be going for. Because that's something I really, really think is missing in modern shooters is the really clear delineated roles between enemies. It's just something you just don't see in your average modern shooter these days.
Yeah, we started to flesh out the enemy roster quite early on. And I think we started to run before walking a bit. So we've sort of slowed down a bit and we're going to focus on trying to get things right for like our most archetypal mirror enemy. So the, you know, the enemy that basically mimics, well, matches player behavior, you know, so they're a bipedal, they've got a gun, you know, they walk along the ground. They're the closest thing to the player that we have. So we're trying to get them right at the moment. There's a smaller one. You see it a little bit in the trailer that carries a big scythe. Those ones are going to be the sort of things we work out next because their behavior is going to have to be quite different to what the other characters are. And then there's obviously the heavy, which I'm kicking that can down the road a little bit on how to like sort of better make that character stand out because you can end up in a situation where they're either too powerful, in which case they're not fun to fight, or they're too weak and they're just a damage sponge, which makes them boring. So you've got to try and find that sweet spot. My goal is to kind of make them feel like those first few Big Daddy fights you had in Bioshock.
I like how you have to say first few because I know what you mean when the power when you get too much power and then
it breaks. Economy is something I'm sort of conscious of as well, but we're still working on that at the moment. That's actually one of the things that was hidden in the trailer.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The enemies usually drop pickups and stuff, and we removed that stuff for the trailer because it was noisy.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess probably like one last big question for this is just what's been the difference in terms of working on this and getting to like kind of do all the concepts early on compared to working at like a bigger studio, like say like Gears Tactics or one of the Far Cry games? Like, what are the upsides? What are the downsides? Like, you know. Sell me on what it feels like to be an indie developer, because I know this is a new experience for you, right?
Yeah, it is. The upsides I've sort of touched on in that I can basically take reference points that are important to me and, like, you know, use them as a springboard for the start of the project, which I've never been able to do before. It's usually like I will be working on a project, I'll hit a problem, and I'll be able to source my own experiences and, you know, knowledge of, you know, reference material to be able to actually solve those problems. Now I can kind of start with that. You know, I can start a concept with something I already enjoy, which helps. Because I can take little pieces of different things and kind of sprinkle them in. Like I said, like, there's a little bit of cannon fodder in there. There's a little bit of Syndicate. There's a bit of Half-Life because people have pointed it out.
There's a little bit of Half-Life in any shooter, right? It's got to be at least a teensy bit.
I had a friend who said, like, I sent him the trailer and he said, yeah, that is a game made by somebody who likes Half-Life. So, yeah.
So where are the head crabs, Sean? I need them.
In the vents.
Get them out of the vents. I want to see them. All right, well, I'm really excited for this. So don't fuck it up or it's going to be really awkward looking back at this podcast. All right? Like, you're like, man.
That is the negative side of this is that...
Yeah, it's yours. It's not just like some studio project.
Yeah, I've got nothing to sort of turn to. And especially the last few games I've worked on, because it comes from a franchise, you've always got like the previous iterations to look back on, or at least like in the case of Gears Tactics, I obviously didn't have a previous Gears Tactics game to look at, but there was the franchise. So if you were building a location, you knew how to make something feel or look Gearsy, which was said a lot. Whereas this, the rules don't exist. And I'm sort of... equally nervous and excited about where we're going to take some of the levels, biomes, and basically the ships, because we've shown a Roughneck class ship, which is the classification of ship for mining, moving cargo and stuff. So it's a bit more typical, but there are other ship types that we're building. So those things will be very different, and that'll be where our visual and... geometric variety will come from, I think.
Yeah, I get you, because they're basically like different levels.
Yeah,
so you're finding new ways to kind of give the player different spaces to go in. Well, I'm really excited to see all that, and I think in the near future, we can probably talk about this again, maybe like the next media cycle or when you guys hit early access or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, normally I would maybe feel weird selling like someone's game too much on this podcast. It's like, you know, when one half of the podcast is working on their own indie game, how can you not, you know? How can you not?
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess we can probably call it a wrap around here.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say for the kids?
No, just appreciate how much work goes into these trailers and watch it.
Yeah, let your dreams drive you. A message of hope to today's young people from Sean Noonan. I'm Bradley Tolliver, and this is Sean Noonan, apparently.
Yeah.
This has been Funk Podcast.
Cool.